Natural anxiety for you. Well, Kingston, what do you want?
Trevlyn's tender tones grew sharp as he addressed the entering servant, and the smile on his lips vanished, leaving them dry and white as he glanced at the card he handed him. An instant he stood staring at it, then asked,
Is the man here?
In the library, sir.
I'll come.
Flinging the card into the fire, he watched it turn to ashes before he spoke, with averted eyes.
Only some annoying business, love. I shall soon be with you again. Lie and rest till I come.
With a hasty caress, he left her. But as he passed a mirror, his wife saw an expression of intense excitement in his face. She said nothing, and lay motionless for several minutes, evidently struggling with some strong impulse. He is ill and anxious, but hides it from me. I have a right to know, and he'll forgive me when I prove that it does no harm. As she spoke to herself, she rose, glided noiselessly through the hall, entered a small closet built in the thickness of the wall, and bending to the keyhole of a narrow door, listened with a half-smile on her lips at the trespass she was committing. A murmur of voices met her ear. Her husband spoke oftenest, and suddenly some word of his dashed the smile from her face as if with a blow. She started, shrank, and shivered, bending lower with set teeth, white cheeks, and panic-stricken heart. Paler and paler grew her lips, wilder and wilder her eyes, fainter and fainter her breath, till, with a long sigh, a vain effort to save herself, she sank prone on the threshold of the door as if struck down by death.
"Mercy on us, my lady! Are you ill?" cried Hester, the maid, as her mistress glided into the room looking like a ghost half an hour later.
"I am faint and cold. Help me to my bed, but do not disturb Sir Richard."
A shiver crept over her as she spoke, and casting a wild, woeful look about her, she laid her head upon the pillow like one who never cared to lift it up again. Hester, a sharp-eyed, middle-aged woman, watched the pale creature for a moment, then left the room, muttering,
"Something is wrong, and Sir Richard must know it. That black-bearded man came for no good, I'll warrant."
At the door of the library, she paused. No sound of voices came from within. A stifled groan was all she heard, and without waiting to knock, she went in, fearing she knew not what. Sir Richard sat at his writing table, pen in hand, but his face was hidden on his arm, and his whole attitude betrayed the presence of someone's overwhelming despair.
"Please, sir, my lady is ill. Shall I send for anyone?"
No answer. Hester repeated her words, but Sir Richard never stirred. Much alarmed, the woman raised his head, saw that he was unconscious, and rang for help. But Sir Richard Trevlyn was past help, though he lingered for some hours. He spoke but once, murmuring faintly,
"Will Alice come to say goodbye?"
"Bring her if she can come," said the physician.
Hester went, found her mistress lying as she left her, like a figure carved in stone. When she gave the message, Lady Trevlyn answered sternly,
"Tell him I will not come,"
and turned her face to the wall, with an expression which daunted the woman too much for another word. Hester whispered the hard answer to the physician, fearing to utter it aloud. But Sir Richard heard it, and died with a despairing prayer for pardon on his lips. When day dawned, Sir Richard lay in his shroud, and his little daughter in her cradle, the one unwept, the other unwelcomed by the wife and mother, who, 12 hours before, had called herself the happiest woman in England. They thought her dying, and at her own command gave her the sealed letter bearing her address which her husband left behind him. She read it, laid it in her bosom, and waking